Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, William Morales. And on today's show, I have Peter Carrasco, who's a staff data and applications engineer at Metadata. Peter, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. It's been a while. I think the last time I had you on was maybe 3 years ago.
I think it was three years ago. Thank you.
We're due for an update.
Especially technology changes so fast. You know, we have to do this every year almost.
It seems that way. So how are you otherwise?
Oh, great, great. I just got a new job a few months ago at Metadata, doing a little bit closer to what I'm looking to do, which is, you know, data engineering, data science, but also my bread and butter, which is application design and development as well.
So, no, sounds good. Yeah. So one of the questions I usually ask someone, you know, in the field of real estate, were they always entrepreneurial? But for you, were you always into technology? Was this something that you, like, growing up, you wanted to be in, like AI intelligence and all that good stuff that comes with learning about the ins and out of technology?
Well, as for technology, not quite. I mean, I started out as an art major, and then I just kind of in college, it kind of evolved into technology. So I'd say since college and grad school, yeah, technology. But the thing is, when I went to school and a few years after school, you know, this was kind of the dark ages of AI, where artificial intelligence was mostly in colleges, universities, not really practiced much in in business like real estate. It just wasn't really there. And it's kind of picked up in the past, say, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 years, been kind of getting out there more, kind of getting more democratized. So
it's funny that you say that, because I've seen now in real estate, especially, you know, now they have like this customer relationship management and this software, and it gives you data on when you sent out the last letter or the last contact. And 30 days later, you better send out another contact. It's changed so much. So what's your role right now at Metadata?
So my specific role, Metadata is a clinical trial system company. So they manage clinical trials as far as security and regulations and processes. And so my role is just to support the the computer system side, the data engineering. They also provide insights, data insights to our clients, some of whom are involved in our friend that we're dealing with right now, or other diseases or other clinical applications. So my role is kind of more like the computer system side and data engineering side, and just helping support that process.
And so how long have you been, if you don't mind me asking, at Metadata now?
It's been, it's very recent. When did I join? In beginning of July? Yeah, so it's been, what, maybe been 5 months? Yeah.
5 months. Mm-hmm. My God, how time flies. Why machine learning and what course did you take at Columbia to get you to this place where you are now?
Mm-hmm. Well, why machine learning? Because it's an amazing field. It's a brand new field. There's lots of potential with things you can do, which I'll be explaining shortly. Yeah. And so why Columbia? I wanted a course that could show me how I could apply machine learning and artificial intelligence in my day-to-day and in other industries. So that's kind of how the course was marketed, and that's how lots of courses were marketed. If I could just talk about the actual course itself.
Sure.
It turned out to be a course that I wouldn't recommend. And I say that because anyone that's interested in going into data science or machine learning and how they can use it in their business should understand, you know, what they're kind of getting into when they take certain courses and what to look for, what not to look for. This particular course was a little bit too theoretical, almost like a college course, and not enough applied. Not enough applied. There was a little bit, the assignments were data engineering assignments where you were analyzing lots of real estate data, as I was explaining, you know, but it was also a lot of theory. So it was like, you know, maybe 60% theory and 40%, or not even, maybe 70-30. So I would have liked a little bit more applied course. I'm kind of on the lookout for some more applied courses, but that was my main motivation for taking the course.
No, understandable. So let's talk about real estate and the practical tools and techniques. Usually, investors like myself and other people I know look for online data, reading reports. How is technology being used now, and what are you seeing that maybe we might not see?
What am I seeing? Well, I guess what I am seeing is, data analytics, business intelligence. I'd say data science is kind of like maybe like the scientific method, the collegiate method of business intelligence and business analytics. Like for example, what cities across the U.S. have appreciated the most in housing value? That's a chart that you can look at. You can look at all the cities, and you can even, go into a city and see all the zip codes that have appreciated the most and appreciated the fewest. So that's kind of like a snapshot in time. And that's kind
Right.
of what we generally all have access to with a lot of reports and a lot of systems, especially with Zillow, and a lot of these other tools, kind of like a data analytics side of things. And where machine learning kind of goes into it is it kind of takes it maybe a step further. Is now that you have this data, what can I do? How can I use a technology to help drive decision making? Like I have this static table. Now, how can I use it to make decisions? Can I automate decisions, or can I use technology to help me decide if I should invest in a particular city or within a city, a particular set of zip codes?
Well, that's always important because real estate is pretty much local. A few a 10 block radius could be thriving, and then you go further down, and then unfortunately you might have buildings that are decrepit, boarded up, and all that. So any type of data that an investor can get is going to be advantageous to them because they could see, like you said, where the people moving to, who's moving out, are the zip code appreciating? Hey, that's a market I want to try. So when it comes to finding, let's say, property value, it's either an appraisal that we get information from a realtor, or doing it ourselves. Basically, just doing the research, which is could be mundane and time consuming. What's different this time with the technology again that you're seeing out there and that some of us might not see, or we're used to doing it the old-fashioned way, if my question made sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, with machine learning, well, let me talk about machine learning kind of in two senses. You have with machine learning, you have like a supervised learning where you have, like you said, all of this information, location, property values, income values, retail, all these values, and then we're trying to determine if it's a good, what is the potential price or possible appraisal. And then you have this thing called unsupervised learning, where you have just a bunch of data and you want to see if there's any patterns in the data. Like you just have lots of data about real estate, and just can it uncover, can the computer uncover any patterns that you've not seen before? And I should mention, I'm a student. still a student. So there's just so much. But so far, what I've discovered is the best tool for the supervised learning is called like regression, like a linear regression. You probably, if you can imagine, like a graph, like a XY chart, like a graph, and then you have a line that goes through it, and you have lots of different points, lots and lots of different points, and you have this imaginary line that kind of summarizes the, maybe we have property values on one on Y and square footage, for example, on the X. And then we have some, so the idea of supervised learning is we want to determine what is, instead of the function, instead of being given the function, we're trying to determine what the function is. So we're trying to determine how the output is determined. So we're trying to derive the function. And if we have, and that's called our model. That's what you would call a model. And if we have a model, then we can take future points, future points of interest, like, maybe income, retail, the number of stores nearby. What else? What else goes into, what else goes into determining real estate value? Natural events. maybe the weather, current economic conditions.
I was gonna say the economy,
the economy.
Yeah.
So if we can derive a function and then future events you plug into this function, that will derive the retail value the value of a property. So we're trying to, instead of being given a function, we're trying to derive what the function is. That's probably why they call it regression, because it's kind of like an inverse of what we normally think of as a function.
So in other words, and tell me if, please correct me if I'm wrong. So you get the data with, like, again, it could be whether people are moving in, moving out, the mm-hmm. economy obviously always has something to do with it, the job growth. And with all that, people moving
like
in.
Like inputs. Inputs.
Yeah, the inputs, yeah. And if we have all that, it could predict, please tell me if I'm wrong, what a future value of a property may be within what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Or
yes.
how would that, mm-hmm. okay.
Yes. So if you have data from the past 2 years with all those data points you mentioned, then it can determine what will be the future value for the next 2 years, or in the next 4 years, or, you know, in 2 year chunks, in the next 2 years, next 4 years, or even the next year, or maybe even the next week. So the idea is to give it enough data to be able to determine future events. And kind of the way that it does it, because it sounds really like crazy, but it's really not that crazy. The way it is, you take all of this data, and then you kind of break it up into like a 80-20. So you have 80% training. So on 80% of the data, we're going to train this model on this data. And then the 20%, or maybe even 30%, you're going to reserve, like maybe 20 or 30% on test data. So you're going to test your model or test your function that you're creating on this test data to see if it matches what the test is and see how accurate your model is. And if you have low accuracy, low accuracy, maybe if it's like, you know, 50%, you know, percentage points away, then it's probably not a very good model. If it's like, you know, 5 or 10% percentage points from the actual test data, then that's a pretty good model, you know? So you just keep working and iterating. It's a very iterative process till your model matches what the test data is.
So how available is this type of data for investors? Is it something that you could plug in and get your results within an hour or so, or minutes, or how, because it's always when it comes, again, when you're looking at comparables and when you're looking to do your research, you know, sometimes an investor might have to wait, again, if you get an appraisal or if you get information from a realtor, sometimes it might not come maybe till the next day. Yeah, so we might have to wait a time, and as they say in real estate, you know, time is of the essence. Mm-hmm. How quickly does that work in the technology field?
Mm-hmm. Well, once you build the model, then it's instantaneous, but you have to build a model. And once you've built a model, then see, the idea behind machine learning is you create this model, and then you keep pushing more data into it. So it gets smarter and smarter and smarter as you have more data. And now that we have, now that we're in this, you know, in this big data, period of big data, you know, we have so much data now, you know, these tools are a lot more relevant than they were in the past when we didn't have so much data. So it just gets smarter and smarter. And the work is mostly upfront in building the model.
Yeah, because, you know, again, so if we have the information of people moving out, people mm-hmm. moving in, the economy, like I said, the job growth, housing starts, which is, you know, new construction. If we put all those models in or all that data in, it could create a report and tell us, hey, this is a good place to invest in, or this is a place, obviously it'll be up to the investor to make that choice whether to move forward or at least to back off and wait maybe a couple of weeks, couple of months to see how everything has changed.
Yes, but not so much with the method that I talked about, which is the regression. Okay. There's another method that I was mentioning was the unsupervised learning. So you're taking all this data and you wanna find patterns. And one of those patterns will be like, it's called clustering. So that's kind of a clustering. Now I'm getting really technical, but clustering is kind of a form of unsupervised learning. So you can imagine a plot, same XY, but now you have lots and lots of data points, but they're scattered kind of all over the place, but they kind of start having a cluster. Like, you know, they might have two clusters, you know, cluster A, cluster B, kind of centered around these two means, actually. And the technique is actually called K-means, because you have K number of clusters. So the clusters will allow you to decide kind of like a binary decision, or maybe even a tertiary decision. Should I invest or should I not invest?
And right. It kind of
gives you, yeah, plans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like this cluster A, cluster A, cluster B. A is properties that I want to invest in. B is properties I don't want to invest in.
Okay. No, that, that narrows it down, because again, it's always comes to the data, because again, mm-hmm. you know, for example, Warren Buffett, when he looks at a company, he reads a financial report, and it could be 60, 70, 80 pages. Now that's a lot of a report to read. In real estate, there's a, I think it's called a comprehensive real estate report, or financial real estate. I think they call it CAFR for short, C-A-F-R, something like that. And Peter, it could run 200 to 300 pages. Mm. Now, who's gonna read that? That's a book. That takes a
couple of months. Oh, if you're Warren Buffett, and you probably have your either have the time to do it, or you're hiring people to do it.
Exactly. So, you know, in that report, some people narrow it down to the financials, the introduction of the city. Is that something that this type of method can help us, where, like you said, everything has to be inputted, where we could just see the financials of the city, again, the whether the economy is good, and obviously the migration of people coming in. Can this, if you input things like that, does it churn it out that quickly?
Well, if you want to see the migration of people going in and out, you already have that data, so you don't need to use it. The idea behind, you know, you don't need to use any of these tools if you have the raw data and you just want to look at it. The idea behind, you know, machine learning is it's to help you make decisions. Let me give you another example I saw recently, actually, regarding COVID. It was amazing. There was an article. It was about how there's an AI, and they use it as like AI as like an object. An AI can determine if, based on your cough, if you are infected with COVID. And I thought that was amazing. And what it is, the way they do it is really just through machine learning. So they have several, thousands and thousands of audio samples of coughs. And then the coughs of the people who are infected with COVID have a distinct, you know, sound, or has a distinct audio that gets converted into binary, and this binary data has a certain pattern. And then the machine learning algorithm can just detect, based on any future coughs, whether you have COVID or not. And I was actually able to detect it with, I think it was a 90, if I recall it, it was in the 90s percent accuracy, 92, 93, maybe even 95% accuracy. So the idea is that, you know, AI is never gonna replace domain experts, because really you have to have the right data, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If you have garbage in, you have garbage out. So you're always going to need, you know, these domain experts that know what they're doing and what type of data goes into the system. But where AI will help is it'll help you, you know, uncover insights that you never thought of, that these experts never thought of, or it'll help, you know, help you make decisions.
Okay, no, that I'm fascinated by this stuff.
So it'll take all this data, and it will help you decide what you want to do with it. You know, should I invest? Should I not invest?
Well, that's always the key: yes or no. You know, or go. You know, discuss the basic of machine learning, supervised learning, unsupervised learning, regression, and clustering. You know. Because again, I know you touched base a little bit on all that, but is it possible with what's happening, obviously with the pandemic and all that, now
this type of data is going to be that much available with more people working from home.
More people are out of the office, Peter. We've seen where vacancies might be 20, 30, 40, even 50% of office space because people are more working from home. Are we going to see this type of data available not only for just real estate investors, but just in general in the business field?
Will it be more available? I guess I'm not, I can't really speak about the availability. I mean, you have Zillow, you have some other, New York State, there's the data is definitely out there. There's lots of data. There was a lot of data even before the pandemic. You know, I've been working with lots and lots of data sets even before for years and years and years. Will this pandemic make the data more available? I'm not quite sure about that, but there's a lot of data out there. It's just really a matter of knowing where it is, where to find the data, where to find the right data. That's why you need experts. That's why you need real estate investors and real estate experts, because you still have to know what the right data is to determine what you're trying to do. Whether you're trying to predict housing market value or kind of binary yes no decisions, you still need the data. But there's definitely lots of data out there.
Yeah, because you always wonder like which data is ever gonna be specific for real estate investors, because there's different niches in the real estate field, and you always want again the data available, because like I said, and we touched base on this already a couple of times, where it's the income, the economy, the migration, even weather now comes into play, especially when if people are looking to move from northeast to south.
All of the data you mentioned is available. It's all there. It's really just a matter. That's all of that is like everything you mentioned is there. I know it's there because I've seen it. It's just a matter of doing the work to take the data. And there's another large process of data science and machine learning as well, is data cleansing. You want to clean the data. Like for example, one data set might say a unit is in Brooklyn, and another data set might say the unit is in Kings County. So you have to reconcile those two differences. You have to say, okay, Brooklyn is Brooklyn or Kings is King. You have to be able to reconcile. So it's kind of like there's a lot of data cleansing work to kind of get these disparate data sources in the same format. So there's a lot of work. But if you're willing to put the work into that, you can have some amazing, amazing results.
No, I mean, you want to, I mean, I know for me, I do. I don't mind the research because I like to see what's out there and all that. So talk about, with what's happening in the world today, with the pandemic, did it affect business at all for you? And if it did, what did you learn from it?
Did it affect business for me? I was in e-commerce before I joined Metadata, and it certainly affected the business somewhat positively, somewhat negatively. I'd say that a lot of our distributors kind of lost some business, so we had to move to more of an online model. We had to kind of beef up our e-commerce website because we knew that our distributors were kind of losing business, and more of our customers were probably going to go online. So we had a lot more marketing than before, a lot more work on our e-commerce website, and a lot of deals, some inventory. In the beginning, there were some inventory problems. There were some problems with making the actual product because we couldn't get our workers into the factory to make the product. So, but once that turned around, it was a lot of work on our e-commerce website.
Okay, so where do you see the industry going in the future? Like, what? I know it's always hard, to predict because you never know. But if you do have a crystal ball, where do you see it going?
I'd say democratization, just like your website. Maybe 5 years ago, you had to hire a web developer because there just weren't a lot of systems to build that could help someone, a layperson, wasn't really a technologist, to make their own website. Right. You had to hire a developer. Nowadays, you have a lot of tools to just do it yourself. I see the same with machine learning and AI. I see it becoming more democratized. I see there's a lot of opportunities, either through courses or just building systems that can kind of take advantage of machine learning and AI and kind of make it available at the click of a button,
I love that. So any resources you could recommend, like for investors to start
to start, like, let's say, doing some research? Anything you could recommend?
Anything I can recommend? I haven't come across a lot of books, but there's, you know, one of the best places for data science is a website called Kaggle. And through Kaggle, it's a very interesting community. It's really a community, online community, because you have data sets like Zillow. And I guess maybe you'll put it up on your notes.
I'll put it on the show notes.
Zillow is very popular. They have lots of data. And you can take this Zillow data set, and then you'll have these professionals kind of go, or even students kind of go into this data set, and they'll just work on this data set. They'll do analysis. They'll try to predict housing prices. They'll try to, they'll try to analyze patterns in the real estate data, and you'll actually see them. You'll see their work, and if it looks really great, you know, maybe you can hire them. If you're an investor and you're trying to get an edge, or you want to use technology to get edge, you can actually hire them to do some work for you.
All right, so
Kaggle is great.
Kaggle, yeah. Zillow, and we got Zillow.com. /research/data, which I like. Kaggle.
There's a online publication called Towards Data Science. Okay. And you can put that in the show notes too. It's hosted on Medium. So if you're familiar with Medium, you have like 5-10 minute articles that are really insightful, for busy people. And there's kind of the same thing with Towards Data Science. It's kind of more like data science, machine learning, artificial intelligence, kind of for lay people like yourself and what I was before I took the course, because I had to start somewhere too, and also for experts as well. That's a great place to start.
Well, we definitely will put that on the show notes. So, and first of all, one, Peter, thank you so much for being on Peter Peter Real Estate.
You're welcome.
Second, you gave us so much information that my brain is spinning, but
so's mine.
But, you know, again, it's just trying to narrow down pretty much the United States in terms of investments. You know, now you have where if you, the things that, and we talked about this before the show, finding boots on the ground, right? So if you're in New York and you're looking to invest in Ohio, you know, you might not know anyone there. But now you have websites, we have the artificial intelligence, among other
you
things.
You have data. That's really what you need first before
you need the data, yes, to let you know what the market is.
But nowadays you can get that data. You can get the data. Heck, I was on Kaggle the other day. There was data from India, actually, the housing market in India, because, you know, it's very, data science is a very popular field there. And for whatever reason, real estate is the first thing that these data science will go for. They'll eat it up. You know, they love predicting real estate is like, I'd say it's the quintessential example for data science.
I definitely agree. So Peter, again, thank you so much for being on. And if somebody want to get in contact with you and learn more about what you're doing at Metadata, how can people get in contact with you?
Oh, well, I am at LinkedIn.com/in/Peter Carrasco. And you can put that in the show notes too.
Yep. No, I will. No, definitely. Well, again, Peter, thank you so much for being on Peter Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks, Peter.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, everyone, that was Peter Carrasco, and you can find him on LinkedIn. Just search Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Carrasco, C-A-R-R-A-S-C-O. Peter, thank you so much for being on today's Peter Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's Peter number 2, peerrealestate.com. Check out our blog and check out our past shows. Also, when you get a chance, please go to Apple Podcasts, look for us on Peter Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peter Peer Real Estate Show, I'm William Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.